Well, it's good to be here this morning. It was good to get away for a couple of weeks, and it's good to be back. And just again want to thank Tacy and Jody for sharing with us while I was gone. I know that you were blessed by their messages. They truly have stories to tell and stories of faith to be able to share. And while I was away, I spent some time working on some Bible studies and plotting out some sermon series that I perhaps feel like the Lord wants us to go to. And I came across a phrase that I thought was pretty fascinating, and it's, "Today is your someday." Today is your someday. It's actually a title of a book by Carrie Shook. It's also an article in Psychology Today entitled, "Today is your someday." And it just sort of fascinated me, so I'm not certain where we're going this morning. All I know is today is your someday, okay? And when I stop and I think about someday, I think about the words of our vocabulary. How many of you ever find that there's some frustrating words in our vocabulary? For instance, we find that no is a very frustrating word. How many of you have ever been told in your life, and how many of you ever found that would be frustrating? You know, children find that to be frustrating when they say, "Daddy, Mommy, can we go buy an ice cream cone?" No. You know, "Can I stay up and watch the movie?" No. Go to bed. And they don't like that. In fact, the first word that they learn is what? The word no. And so no is frustrating to parents, it's frustrating to kids, and it's just frustrating, period, no. And then, of course, there's that word maybe, maybe. You know, "Dad, Mom, can I buy a new bicycle?" Well, maybe, you know, when you can afford it, right? Can we go out to the Jerry's and buy an ice cream cone? Well, maybe, we'll see. And so there's all sorts of maybes. It sort of leaves you in limbo. You're not quite certain if it's going to happen, if it's not going to happen. But it's just sort of a maybe experience. And then there's that word someday. Someday. Again, here's your child. They just turn 16 and they get their driver's license. And they say, "Dad, can we go out and buy that brand new Corvette we saw parked on the lot out there?" And you say, what? Either no, maybe, or someday when you can afford it, right? Someday when you can afford the payments, someday when you can afford the car insurance. "Dad, all my friends are staying up past curfew. Can I stay up?" Well, maybe someday when you're old enough. Someday is just one of those words that we have. It's a little bit like a limbo experience. Lana and I, we went to West Virginia to see our daughter, visit her for a little while, and on the way back we stopped around Berlin, Ohio. We always like to visit that area of the world. It's quiet and serene, and we decided to stay in this little hotel that was out in the country and was overlooking this landscape, and it was rolling hills. But over here, they had a thrashing show that was going on that actually were breaking it down, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of it, but they were breaking it down. And we were sitting on the back bench behind the hotel, and horses can roam throughout the motel area. And they had a little pond, and they had some bunnies that were friendly, and they had a lot of ducks that were walking around where you could feed the ducks. And we were sitting there, and there were three ducks that walked across our path. And we just had to laugh because I don't know whether you can see it or not, but there's something right here on his snout, on his bill. You know what it is? Huh? It's not dead mouse, it's actually, well, it's manure, okay? Somewhere along the line, he was on the wrong end of the thing. But I told Lana as I looked at that, I said, "Man, there's one caption for that picture, and it's, sometimes the world just stinks." Or sometimes life just stinks. And bless his heart, I mean, you know, poor pity this little duck. The next day, Lana said, I said, "Did you see that duck that had that stuff on his bill?" And she said, "No, I think he got it off of there somewhere along the line." But, you know, someday our life just stinks, right? Sometimes, anyway. And so we say about someday I won't have to experience this pain any longer. Someday I won't have to experience, you know, my debt, being head over heels in debt any longer. Someday, you know, my relationships will improve. Someday things will be better in my life and I can get on living a life that is blessed. Someday, and hopefully we don't, you know, experience that. But right now we're saying, you know, all the world just sort of stinks. But I think about the people of Israel. They had been in freedom for many years. They had formed their own country. And then they began to rebel against God, and they began to worship idols, and they drifted away. And they found themselves in captivity once more in the land of Babylon. They were in a strange land. The Bible says they could not even sing a song. There was no music in their soul. And when you don't have a music, a song in your soul, I mean, that's really being at the bottom of the heap, because every one of us, you know, have songs in our soul. I know I could be sitting and laying in bed at night, or I could be in a car, and Lana can tell when I'm singing a song, you know, in my heart silently, because I just, you know, it just comes through, you know. You just have to keep a beat along the way. But they had no song. They had no music in their soul. And they were saying to God, Lord, when are we going to be able to return to the land of promise? When are we going to be able to go home to the land of our fathers? And he kept saying, someday, someday, someday. When is the Messiah going to come? Someday. And then we find that one day, that someday became today. They had been crying out for the poor to be delivered. They had been crying out for the brokenhearted to be healed. They had been crying out for those who had been captive to be released. And now that one day, that someday became today. And it came in the form of a small child that was born. And his name was called who? Jesus. Jesus. I picture Jesus. It says he was born in the fullness of time. Now imagine that. He was born in the time of the Roman Empire. They didn't have computer. They didn't have internet. Why didn't God think that today would be the fullness of time? Why then? But anyway, he said it was the fullness of time, and Jesus was born. And I can see him growing up in the household of Mary and Joseph. Joseph was a carpenter. They lived in a little backwater village called Nazareth. And a little bit like, you know, we talk about Selma or New Burlington or some of these small communities where life just is simple and it goes on. And Joseph had this carpenter shop. And I can see Jesus being a little bit like I was when I was young. My dad was a mechanic, but he loved to work on wood on the side. And so he had a work shed. And when he was working on wood, I would go out in that work shed and I would take my hammer and my nails and my little pieces of wood and I'd make boxes or birdhouses. How many of you have ever did this? You know, you mimicked your dad and what they did. And so Jesus learned how to craft little stools and craft little benches, and he began to grow. And his daddy would take him to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he learned about the things of the faith, the things of Scripture, the things of God. And then on about the 12th birthday, he was bar mitzvah. That means bar mitzvah means the son of the commandment. He became an adult, and he began to grow in favor and in love with God and man. And then we find that he, as he began to grow, one day he decided to go into ministry. And he went out and he began to preach. But before he did that, we find that he was coming out of the wilderness, and there was a cousin of his who had been born, John the Baptist. And John saw him coming out of the wilderness one day and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus was taken down to that water, and the heavens were opened up. And what a glorious scene that was, as God's voice was heard from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the Spirit of God came down like a dove upon him. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God drove him out into the wilderness where he was tempted in all points like we are. There's not a temptation that you have undergone, that I have undergone, that Jesus has not endured. He knows every temptation, every desire towards evil that we know. And yet, through the Spirit and through the Word of God, he was triumphant over that. He conquered. He came out of that wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible says he came into the synagogue once again, and he picked up a copy of the book of Isaiah, and he began to read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And all the eyes of all who were on him in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, what? "Not someday, but today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, the blind will see. Today, the deaf will hear. Today, those who are brokenhearted will be healed. Today is the day. Today is the day." There's a big difference between today and someday in our life. And so we find that Jesus goes out from that synagogue, and what happens is he begins to touch blind Bartimaeus, and he sees. And he lays his hand upon those who are deaf, and they begin to hear. And he sees a demoniac who's enchained in a dark garden, and he's in captivity, and he breaks the chains, and he sets them free. He sees the brokenhearted woman of a person who's lost her loved one, and he brings healing to her life. Jesus begins to do this ministry, and he gathers this tremendous following around him as they follow him, and he see him do all these miracles. And then he begins to preach a little bit harder message. And the ministry changes, and he begins to say things like, we need to deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow me. And those are very hard statements, because none of us like to die to ourselves. None of us like to die to our rights or our opinions or agendas. Dying to ourselves is very difficult. Putting ourselves on a cross is very painful to do. And yet we find that that's what he taught, and that says that people begin to leave. And John 6:66 has always fascinated me, because he turns to his 12 disciples and he says, will you two also leave me? Will you two also leave me? Well, Jesus, of course, begins to preach that harder message. We know what happens as he begins to preach. Then the people begin to turn against him. The religious leaders are out after him. And one day we find that none other than he's being accused of blasphemy. He's being taken for trial. He's being nailed to a cross. And he's hung up on a hill called Calvary to die for your sins and mine's. But for them, it was basically to get him out of their life. And he's laid in this borrowed tomb, and the stone is rolled into place. You know, when I stop and I think about today and someday, I think about the barriers to blessings that God wants to bring into our life, the barriers that we erect in our life that keep us from enjoying the someday experiences that actually can become the today experiences of our life. Let's look at some of these. First of all, we have these sinful behaviors of our life. Hate and lies and selfishness and resentment. I mean, if I were to give you a piece of chalk and we were to come up here and we had a chalkboard, you could all write on there those sins and weaknesses that we deal with. Resentment and bitterness and addiction and pride and lust and failure and regret in our life. These are all that Paul calls the works of the flesh that we deal with, the things that drag us down. We could also add gossip to that. I heard someone say this past week, and while it was funny, you know, gossip is tragic, they said, now, I don't repeat gossip, so listen real closely. But, you know, gossip is just not good any way that you cut it, right? I mean, it destroys relationships, it destroys community, it destroys what we have. But we deal with these sinful behaviors of our life. We also have a barrier which we could call our present problems. Some of us have financial problems. We're in debt, head way over our heads, and we're wondering, will I ever be able to climb out of this hole? Some of us have emotional problems that we're dealing with. You know, we're dealing with an upset emotion. We can't seem to motivate ourselves. We can't seem to move. We're depressed. Maybe it's a relational difficulty. We're having problems with maybe a spouse, or maybe a child, or maybe a parent. You know, or maybe a boss, or maybe a neighbor, relational problems. Some of us are dealing with failure and regret in our life. Maybe we've ventured out on something and we failed, and now the devil is accusing us because he loves to convince us of lies, and he loves to be the accuser. That's what he's called. He loves to try to convince us that we aren't worth anything, that we don't amount to anything, that everything that we will do will falter and fail, and so we're dealing with these failures and regrets in our life. And along the way, we're not really achieving those someday dreams. We're saying, when will I be able to overcome this hate in my life? This bitterness that grabs a hold of me, when am I going to be able to overcome that? When am I going to be able to deal with this anxiety or this depression or this fear that envelops my life every single day? We need to understand that God takes these. And of course, we have choices in all of these. One is we choose to repent with our sinful behaviors. We choose to repent, and we choose to come before the Lord. And, you know, communion reminds us of this whole idea of repentance and coming before the Lord and being covered in the blood. And then we find the present problems. God weaves them together in such a way. All things work together for the good of those who what? Love the Lord. And he weaves them together like a quilt or like a tapestry. And then we begin to see how God has worked in our life to overcome those. But I want you to understand this morning, friends, that there's no tragedy, there's no present problem, there's no sin in your life greater than the grace of God. Amen? No one greater than the grace of God. I came across this a song, and we actually sang it, or not sang it, we listened to it back in Good Friday, but it's Chris Tomlin. And it says, there's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I am in all of you. I'm in all of you where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There is a place where sin and shame are powerless, and where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes flowing down, where my hope is found here on holy ground. You know, God's grace is greater. We're not owned, friends, by the travesties of our past. We're not owned by our sinful behaviors. If we stand in the person of Jesus Christ, we have hope, we have life, we have peace. We are not owned by the darkness of Friday, where there was no hope. We're not owned by all those sorts of things that seek to bring us down. We're owned and claimed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And here is Jesus. You know, we find him laid in that tomb, and Mary comes to that tomb on that third day. She finds the stone rolled away, and to add insult upon insult, the body has been taken away. And she's wondering where in the world they've placed the body of Jesus, and then Jesus appears to her and tells her that he hasn't been ascended yet, and he's going to come for her, but he basically says, I want you to come and follow me. Come out of your darkness and follow me. Come out of your futility and follow me. Come out of your sin and follow me. Come follow me. Why? Because in Jesus Christ there is hope and there is life that is forevermore. The devil wants to convince you that you're worth nothing. Jesus Christ gave his life to show you that you're worth everything, that he gave everything that he had to purchase our redemption. We, of course, had gone to visit. We'd spent a few days and went to visit Stacy, and I'm even hesitant to bring this up, but I was driving home from the Indianapolis Indians game last night, and God just sort of spoke to me, and as I was thinking of this song by Chris Tomlin. And we'd gone to visit Stacy over in West Virginia, and her and her husband, Drew, is a pastor of a Wesleyan church, small Wesleyan church there, and God has blessed them in so many ways. But while we were there, we arrived, and the day before that, there were some things that had happened in regards to an individual in their church that, you know, has really just been, they've been very controlling, very manipulative, very hateful, very resentful. And it goes all back to this thing here we find in our sinful behaviors. You know, sometimes we act out of our bitterness, we act out of our resentment. And this person has been causing them all sorts of heartache and all sorts of pain. And it's just hard to see. And as I sit there at the dinner table one day, you know, some things had come up and they'd received some emails and things of that nature. And Stacy had started to sit down and eat, but then I was the only one there. The others had left. But anyway, she broke down and she began to cry. She began, the tears flowed down her face. And she left. And you know, it's really tearing her up on the inside emotionally, to where she's not even eating, and even her husband has been not even eating in many ways because of all that. And it's amazing how one individual can cause so much disturbance. But I got to thinking about this. You know, how many of you, we're all parents or we're all grandparents of some sort or another, or we're all friends of someone. You know, when you're going through pain and difficulty, and I've been through in some ways what they've been through, but when you're going through an illness, for instance, you know, you go through that illness, but when your child goes through that illness, you know, what's the compassion of your heart? It's, I wish I could be in their place. Is that right? You know, how many of you'd rather take the place of your child than see them going through that? And I got to saying, you know, I would take their place. I don't want to see my daughter. I don't want to see them go through something like this. It's tearing them up to where it's actually affecting their health. And God spoke to me. He says, you know what? I am your father. I am your father, and I have taken your place. Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary. He took all of our pain. He took all of our emotional turmoil. He took all of our guilt. He took all of our suffering. He took it all upon himself so that we could be free, so that we could be at peace, so that we could rest underneath the cross of Calvary. And his love does run red for us this morning. It's there we find that hope in life. And so we find that today can be come someday. Someday those someday dreams diminish. They vanish, and we wonder, how in the world are we ever going to get them back? But God reminds us that in him we have new life. You see, on that third day, what happened? He rose again from the dead. Amen? Praise God. He rose again from the dead. And resurrection is a new life, a new beginning. When we come to Christ, it says we're new creatures in Christ. Friends, resurrection is not a replay. You know, we talk about country western music. What do you get if you play it backwards? You get your dog back, your house back, your car back. Well, resurrection isn't a replay. And I'm so glad, friends, that I don't have to go through karma. That I don't have to come back and live this life all over to get it straight. In Jesus Christ, I have a new beginning. I have a resurrection life. And the very same power that created this world, the very same power that was breathed into the body of Jesus and that rose him again from the dead, is the very same power of the Spirit that's available in your life and my life today. Today can be your someday. The captive can be set free. The blind can hear. The deaf can hear. The blind can see, I should say. And that those who are oppressed can go free. Those who are broken in their hearts can be healed and find peace. If we only reach out and say, Lord Jesus, I want to come into your kingdom. Today is the day, he says, of salvation. Today is the day to be made whole. Today is the day to have that peace. You know, rather than bundle it up and walk around in our hearts and allow all of our garbage to come out, you know, and affect everybody else, to come to the cross and via these communion elements to say, Lord Jesus, you know, it's by your blood that I am made whole. And it's by your blood that I find forgiveness. And Lord, I want to change. I want to repent. I want to make new. Lord, I want to take this heartache. I want to be made well. I want to be healed of my bruised nature. And God will do that. Today, friends, is your someday. But it's a choice that we make to enter in. It's a choice that we make to say, Lord, it's your way. Your will be done and your kingdom come. Today is your someday experience. Heavenly Father, I pray today as we come before you, Lord, there's all sorts of things and garbage that we deal with in life. And sometimes life stinks, but Lord Jesus, wow. Lord, you can pour new life through your power into each and every one of us. And I pray today that as we come before you, and as we take part of this bread and this juice that's been prepared for us, that we will be able to, one, maybe confess that which holds us, binds us, holds us down, whatever it might be, that sin that we need to confess, that, Lord, and we might understand that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, maybe we're dealing with a personal problem, and maybe it's something that we've created, maybe it's something that someone else has created for us, and we're part of somebody else's messed up life, and we ache and we're bruised and we're broken, and Lord, we want wholeness and healing. Lord, today is the day that we choose to enter in because we know that you, Lord Jesus, took our sins upon the cross. You took our diseases upon the cross. You took our suffering upon the cross. And today can become that someday experience that we've all dreamed about because we've truly looked to you and we rest in your almighty grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for that day when the love ran red, and you gave us hope and peace and life that's now and forever. Father, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for that divine embrace. Thank you for taking our place, and becoming our all in all. In Jesus' name, amen.